Om Shanti, and welcome to you all here. We're very lucky to have our brother Yogesh from Turkey here with us. He's very kindly offered to be with us this morning, even though he leaves this afternoon. So his special time in Madhuban, he's made himself available to us. I'm happy to say he's an African. He was born in Africa, in Malawi, and then you can tell from his accent that he was educated in the UK, mainly Oxford, yes?
In London.
In London and Oxford. And he has been a development trainer and workshop person for 20 years. He's been in Gyan for, I think, more than 30 years, although, yeah, it's more than 40 years. More than 40 years. And he coordinates the centers in Turkey. So thank you so much for being with us. And he will show us some life skills and what is meaningful to us and keeps us sustained in our Brahman life. Om Shanti.
Om Shanti. Good morning. Thank you, Sister Shuna. So we have this topic of sustenance, and more particularly self-sustenance skills. And one thing, interestingly, is that last night we had the Avyakta Murali transmission, and this morning we had another Avyakta Murali. Can you handle it? Two Avyakta Muralis within the space of 14 hours. And Avyakta Muralis are very, very rich. And for me, when I first started the hearing and studying Avyakta Muralis, I was at school in those days. So maybe when I really started reading by myself, in addition to the morning class, maybe I was 13 or 14. And I was always interested in science. You know, science basically is the interest to know how things work. But as well, I was interested in poetry, artistry. Now if you read a science textbook, it can be very informative, lots of data, but that can also be a little bit bland or a bit boring. And if you read poetry, it can be very flowery, very nice, very colorful, but sometimes a little meaningless. And for me, Avyakta Murali was the marriage of these two things, science and poetry. The way Bapdada explains things, going deeper and deeper and deeper into the subject, very, very intelligent, but at the same time presented in such a way that you just feel like listening more and more and more. The metaphors he uses, the ideology, the imagery, it's quite spectacular. And so two of Baba's titles I feel come together in the Avyakta Murali, the comforter of the hearts, and also the intelligence one, the intelligence of the wisdom of the intelligence, wisest of the wise. So both the heart and also the intellect are addressed. And probably that's one of the main things that sustained me over the years, is the going into the depth of Avyakta Murali, churning, researching, understanding what's being said. But yet, why do we need to learn self-sustenance skills as well? And that is because the journey from Nar to Narayan, or Nari to Lakshmi, or Shudra to angel, is a long journey. It is not a 100-meter sprint. It's a marathon. But we don't get told that when we do the course. And when you first come into the morning class, Maybe you look around and you see the other students and you see, ah, this guy's been here for 15 years. And that sister, she's been here for 30 years. And that one has been there for 40 years. And you think, how come you haven't become Lakshmi Narayan yet? What's taking you all this time? I thought it's a 7 days course. But of course, it's as you go along the journey, then you discover what the program is. And basically, the program is this, that the aim is to become, however you wish to describe it, complete, karmatid, angel, deity, Lakshmi Narayan, whatever imagery suits you, that's the aim. And then you find out later that on this journey, there will be some obstacles. And there is something called Maya, which will interfere and will try to divert you, slow you down, make you give up, make you go backwards. But then God says, also part of the game is I will help you. I will sustain you, I will guide you, I will coach you, I'll provide to you the tips, tricks and techniques by which you can get through the challenges of Maya to reach your goal. So that's the basic plan. And we know that when we first start in this journey, then probably love is enough to keep you moving ahead. But as Baba said once, love is not enough. All you need is not love. You need more. He said, loveful yoga is not enough because as you progress on the journey, your old sanskars will oppose you. And he said, at that time, you need powerful yoga, not just loveful yoga. As we heard in the transmission yesterday, ordinary remembrance is not enough. We need volcanic yoga. So it means that we need to go a little bit deeper and discover the depth of jnana and yoga to keep ourselves moving forward. So I have also a few exercises and activities, as this is billed as a workshop. So we'll come to those in just a moment. But I do remember hearing many years ago here in Madhuban, one senior brother sharing that within the program of Brahmin life, if you can do 5 things every day, then your boat will keep moving forward. That's how he described it. And it's the framework of Brahmin life, which we all know and we all do to different extents. But 5 things to try to make sure is in my day every day. And as we know, we start the day by taking power and blessings and love from Bab Dada in the early morning. So Amrit Vela is the first thing, which fills up the heart. And when the heart is full, then of course the mind becomes disciplined. So first thing is that. Then second thing, intellect requires nourishment. So to hear what has Baba said today, what is the message for me today? And of course it needs to be more than a tick box exercise. That I attended the Murali, I heard the Murali, but I need to consciously take at least 1 or 2 points which I can work with during the day. Then third thing, as we do, is traffic control. It may not be every hour according to your schedule, but we need to do at least 3 or 4 times during the day to break the mind's habit of speeding. And then fourth one is to do at least 30 minutes or at the very minimum 20 minutes meditation in the evening. And for me that differs from morning meditation. Amrit Vela, we could say, is like charging the battery of the soul for the day. But evening meditation is like taking a shower, a soul shower. So in the day you may have got upset or irritated or affected by somebody else's stress. You know, and you're carrying that debris in you. And evening meditation is like just washing it away, freeing myself from the influences of the day. And then there's the fifth thing. Now, what do you think the fifth thing might be? I knew you were going to say that. Something else which I wasn't expecting when this brother shared. But he said, fifth thing is make sure you serve at least one person every day. And I was thinking, okay, how does that work? You know, why do we have to do that? And so service can be also of another Brahmin. But I should be in the giving mode. The giving mode has to be activated because that's how we grow. They might get fed up with you. Yeah, sure. Can be. You see, and... it can be. Yes, yeah. Yeah, seriously, you can. Yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, as Baba had said once, that if you do service in the right awareness, then the result is you experience happiness and power, which is the instant fruit of service. Because in the confluence says the laws of karma change. There is this thing called instant fruit, which exists only in Sangam Yuga. So when we do seva with the right consciousness, the right awareness, then happiness and power are experienced. And Baba has said, those who eat that fruit, they remain healthy as Brahmins. So whether it's, you know, sharing gyan, which we should do, or it's even, you know, doing some karma yoga, or it's mansa seva, some service should be done every day. And if you think about the importance of circulation, as a question. Sorry? Yeah, because I'm... No, not necessarily. No. But if you think about circulation, you know, why circulation is important for good health. So for our body, circulation is necessary, and for that you have to move the body and exercise. In a room, air should circulate, otherwise everybody falls asleep. In a healthy economy, the wealth should circulate. We saw during COVID, nobody was shopping, nobody was flying, so many businesses collapsed. So too, spiritual circulation is necessary to keep the soul healthy. And that means I'm receiving from the source, from Baba, and then sharing, distributing to others. So if we're able to do these like five main things, you know, at least our boat will continue to move forward. And Baba mentioned all today's Murli and also yesterday the importance of charity and receiving blessings as a very important part of, you know, sustaining yourself. So then let's look a bit more at one or two other things. So I'm going to use the board, which is my second best friend. So how does our Brahmin life look? Let's say this is where you start. And let's say this is where you finish. Okay, now we can call that as angel stage. You can call that as Lakshmi Narayan, Karmatit, etc., etc. So how does our journey look? Has anybody experienced this? No, seriously? What kind of Raja Yoga are you doing? Okay, maybe for some dadis it can be a bit like this. Sorry? Yeah, maybe Mama and some others. But I would say for most of us it's a bit like this, you know. Maybe you can't see that, so I'll use the darker color. You know, go like this, and then it's a bit up there. Whoa, where are we going? You know, where am I? Come on, come back, okay. You know, and then you sort of stabilize, and then you reach. So this happens, because it's the resistive force of our old sanskaras, which we call as Maya, the gravitational pull of the old. So what happens when you're there? Now, I asked a few friends today, how do you sustain yourselves? And I won't mention any names, but Shuna was one of them. And one of the answers which came was, love for Baba, love for God. And of course, that love for Baba and love of Baba is the most powerful energy. But we also know sometimes you can't feel that. You can't feel the love, and you might feel a bit dry inside. Or you may feel the wind has gone out of your sails. So what to do? How to sustain yourself even as you pass through those dry periods? And I think one of the things we all need to do is to really understand your own self very well. Understand your psychology. Understand how your machinery works. Know how to bring the best out of yourself. Learn to be a detached observer of yourself without getting pulled into your own emotional drama. Not to take your own emotions too seriously. So first exercise we have is to look at knowing your own self. And unfortunately we can't move these chairs around. But somehow I'll ask you to just to be in a little group of three with people around you. Of course, language is an issue. So can you just club together with two other people? And try to be with people you don't like. I mean, you don't know very well. Okay. Just make sure you speak the same language. Three is good, or even four, if it has to be. Do we have at least three? Everybody at least three? Okay, so as soon as you're ready, you can just sit down. So what we're going to do is I will ask you a question. Then I'll ask you to reflect on your answer in silence. And then I'll ask you to share your answer in your little group. Okay? So this is a non-pen and notebook exercise. No writing needed. You have Mukti and Jivan Mukti from your notebooks. Okay. All right, this is more of a reflective exercise rather than an intellectual one. So you may just close your eyes for a moment. Okay, so here comes question number one. So, some of you may have been on this spiritual journey for a short time, some maybe for a longer time. And here comes the question, where are you at in your spiritual journey? Where are you at in your spiritual journey? In other words, where have you reached so far in your spiritual journey? Just think about that for a moment. Okay, then open your eyes. to share with each other in your small groups. And you have 5 minutes 12 seconds for this. One minute more. Okay, so now we come to question number two. All right, so once again, you can just close your eyes. Question number two. So Baba has told us that enthusiasm is the breath of Brahmin life. And he's told us that if sometimes a person's breath is very fast, if they're hyperventilating, and sometimes it's too slow, it's not healthy. But how to maintain a regular rhythm of breathing? So in terms of enthusiasm, the question is, how do you maintain your enthusiasm in Brahmin life? I repeat that. How do you maintain your enthusiasm in Brahmin life? So just think about that for a moment. Okay, then open your eyes and share in your little groups. And you have 5 minutes and 19 seconds this time. Okay. 1 minute more. Okay, so now we come to the last question, the last question. And this question is a two parts to this question. So again, you can just close your eyes and just reflect. So the first part is, what do you like the most about Baba? And second part, what does Baba like about you? Yeah, so repeat that. What do you like the most about Baba? And what does Baba like about you? So just reflect on this for a moment. Okay, then open your eyes, share in your groups, and you have 3 hours for this one. Now you have 6 minutes. One minute more. Okay. Thank you. If I could ask you to face this way once again, just come back as one group. All right, so how are you feeling? Huh? All right. Almost. Just little more to go. Well, I remember Baba saying once that even, you know, two Brahmins, just having an honest, good conversation with each other can sustain each other. You know, we have such rich lives, so many wonderful experiences to share, magical memories of Madhuban. And once Baba even said, open the book of your entertaining experiences and share. Just a small group of Brahmins, you know, it creates enthusiasm. And so open and honest conversations can really also raise your spirits. So we have to find ways which work for us personally. We know in the Sakar Murli, sometimes Baba says, everybody should have 4 or 5 records with them. Yeah, and when your spirit is low, play that song and lift yourself up. So it's using tools and resources that we have, even in the short term, to make yourself feel better. And once even Avyak Bhavdada said, if you feel a bit sad, then go in the bathroom and dance. He said, if you can't find anywhere else to dance, lock yourself in the bathroom, just dance. Avyak Bhavdada. So, of course, Gyan and Yoga are the long-term methods. We must continue to use that. But in the short term, you know, no need to waste time staying in a bad mood. Find something to lift myself up. Are you sitting comfortably? Okay, that could be a problem. Okay, as we will see in a moment. But two more things human beings need in general. Again, from Baba's Murli, he said human beings need variety and human beings need newness. Now, when we're in Madhuban or in a retreat center or a big center, those needs can be taken care of by other people. They constantly working on new things for us and keep us active. But especially if you may be in a center, there's not so many Brahmins, there may not be so many new programs created to keep you entertained. So you have to know how to sustain yourself, how to keep yourself entertained. Why? Because if we slip into the area of boredom, boredom is a danger zone. Boredom is a spiritual killer. We must not allow ourselves to slip into that and find ways of bringing variety and newness into our lives. For example, let's say you like to eat a certain thing, it's your favorite food. But if you have it three times a day, every day for a month, you may think, I wonder if I can have something different today. And also newness. Bring newness into the way you listen to the Murli. Bring newness into your teaching style. Listen to other people giving the course. Learn something from them. Expose yourself to people who churn differently and see if I can see something from another angle. And nowadays, of course, with technology, we are able to access, you know, classes and talks by Brahmins all over the world. So something I have been seeing from one angle for 10, 20, 30 years, I see another Brahmin living somewhere else, another part of the world. He or she talks about the same thing from an angle I didn't even realize. So we have a very rich resource of learning, and we should make use of that. Let's look at being comfortable. What happens? You can. Sorry, I can't hear you. The more class. The last sentence, the last word? Yeah, I mean, those are all resources. But, you know, somebody else's churning should not be a substitute for your own churning. So we listen to, you know, classes of Dadi, seniors, and we have like 40 years worth of stuff, even on YouTube. But there's no substitute for making your own discoveries. But we can learn from the experiences of others. So yes, I have to do my own study, but also I can take benefit from what others have already learned as well. So those resources are available to us. But it's your journey. You know, we start off together. You may travel the journey together, but you're still on your own. Because one thing that does happen on this pilgrimage is you will be tested. So I like the example of five friends starting off on a pilgrimage together. They're walking together and they're laughing and they're singing and they're making jokes and sharing food and having a jolly good time as they travel together. But each one will be tested. So for example, as they travel the journey, one day it gets very cold. And one of the five says, oh, this is too cold. Let's stop here. He stops, the other four keep going. And then a few days later it gets very hot. And one says, oh, it's too hot. I can't go on anymore. Let's stop here. So this one stops. The other three say, no, no, no. We want to keep going. Then a few days later, you have to, let's say, wade through a river on the journey. And one says, oh, it's a bit dangerous here. There are crocodiles in the river. I don't think we should go any further. So that one stops, and the other two keep going. And the next part of the journey, you have to go through a jungle where there are wild animals. So one says, this is silly. We should not do this. So that one stops. And only one keeps going and reaches the destination. So these tests come in the Brahmin life. Tests such as, you may be criticized. Can you deal with that? You may be ignored, not included in some meetings. Does that stop you or do you keep going? You may be passed over or discredited. You may not be given the credit for what was your idea. So we pass through all these challenges. And they are designed to ask me, how deep is the truth in myself? As somebody once said, it's not so important how long you are in knowledge, but how long knowledge has been in you. Because this is the path of truth. You know, to become, if you want to marry Mr. Narayan or Miss Lakshmi, you have to be worthy. So Brahmin life also is an obstacle course to see how much I have really imbibed the Gyan and Yoga in myself. And nowadays, you know, when we hear of those who have reached the other side, of course, Baba, Mama, Dadi, senior brothers, we can take inspiration from the way they have done it themselves. Okay, so let's just come to the next part. And it's about comfort. I mentioned comfort earlier. So let's call this as our comfort zone. And everybody likes to stay in their comfort zone. Why? Because it's comfortable. Yeah, okay. And why? Because the next part of these zones, immediately outside the comfort zone, is the fear zone. So when we step out of the comfort zone, we experience some nervousness, some anxiety, some tension, some stress, because I'm entering an unknown area. And there, you may find you want to run back into the comfort zone, or you are easily influenced by others who say, no, this is not for you. You should, you know, go back to the way you were. But if you have the courage to pass through to the fear zone, then you enter into the learning zone. So there you will develop new skills, talents, abilities to do what you were afraid of doing before. In other words, your comfort zone is expanding. That which you found uncomfortable, now you find comfortable because you have developed those skills and abilities. You have to face the fear in order to learn and to grow. And then finally, you enter into what I would call as the thriving zone. So thriving zone is where, you know, your wings have fully opened. You are flying, you are blossoming, you found your purpose, you're on fire, the best in you is activated, and you really feel as though you are truly living the life. You really feel, you know, on fire inside, very happy. And that's, I think, the place where Baba wants us all to reach. And sometimes he says each of you is a flower in God's garden, And Baba wants every flower to blossom fully, knowing that every flower is different and unique and individual. What's in you is not in me, what's in me is not in you. And the beauty of the garden is the variety, but full blossom. So it's up to each one of us to ask ourselves, well, what maybe is holding me back from emerging the best within myself? Then, what about the other side? What about the dark side of the comfort zone? Is there a price to pay if you stay too long in the comfort zone? Huh? Miss the boat? Yeah, it's worse than that, in fact, yeah. So I would say the other side of the comfort zone, if you stay too long, then you can slip into the complacency zone. So there, in case you don't know the word complacency, you take things for granted. And you feel, well, there'll be another Madhuban next year. Well, you know, I'll go to Murli another time. Well, you know, Baba's always saying these things. And this happens surreptitiously. We don't even realize how we drift into a complacency mindset. And so there our attention on ourselves reduces. We take things for granted. We think what we have is always going to be there. So we begin to undervalue what we are receiving. Then from the complacency zone, we move into the laziness and carelessness zone. You see, and that's where we look the other way. Who cares, you know, everybody does this. And it's like, you know, you're driving a car and you hear a funny noise and you think, oh, it's okay, it doesn't matter. Until one day the car breaks down and you have a huge amount of money to pay to the mechanic. So there it's just, you know, putting things off, carelessness, laziness. It's not important, not paying proper attention, becoming defocused. And then there's the final stage of the dark side of the comfort zone that we can call as the stagnation zone. Also known as the dead zone. The stagnation zone is where, you know, basically you rot. Sorry about that word, but spiritually you rot. You have everything inside, but nothing is moving. You know, it's like a pond which just, there's no movement in it. It just becomes very toxic. And so there, I'm receiving, but nothing is moving inside me. I kind of become, you know, overcomfortable. No enthusiasm, no energy, not wanting to do anything. Morally doesn't feel interesting. Don't really want to do any service. So technically, I'm still a Brahmin. Still tick the boxes. But not really enjoying the Brahmin life. You know, the enthusiasm isn't there. The intoxication is missing. I am alive, but not living. As Baba once said, it's like being in a coma. The person in the coma is technically alive, on life support maybe, but not enjoying the life. Some call it the zombie zone. So, still alive, but that energy, happiness, joy is missing. So we have to guard against ourselves not to slip into this in this direction. And that requires attention, you know, to keep myself bubbling, to understand my own psychology, so I keep moving in the right direction. There's a nice phrase I like that Familiarity is the enemy of learning. When you become over familiar with something and you think, I know, then the learning impulse reduces. So it may be also a good idea to ask yourself, okay, let me look at this, even the lesson of the course, let me look at it from another angle. Let me try and see something in the tree which I have never seen before. Let me not say, I know this, because there my learning shuts down. And even a conversation with another soul, okay, what do you know about the tree? Let's discuss secrets of the cycle. Give me three secrets and I'll give you three secrets. You know, the conversation over chai, over lunch, just to sustain and keep the intellect active, keep us growing. So that's two sides of the comfort zone. Is that okay? Make sense? All right, so now we're going to come to the last exercise. Going to need some help, maybe come out, just to distribute these sheets of paper. Maybe somebody can help. So one sheet of paper each, if you can. Oh yeah, you need a pen as well. We're not going to make paper aeroplanes. So you have to write on the paper. Okay, I think most people have pen and paper. So first I'm going to just share a model with you. Then afterwards I'll ask you to do the exercise. So please don't start writing just yet. But a question. Why are wheels round? Why are wheels round? Any good reason? All right. So the more round they are, the more smooth is the journey, right? Of your bicycle, your car, etc. What if wheels were square? What if wheels were a triangle? How would your car move? Be like a kangaroo or a camel maybe, yeah? Sorry? Yeah. Okay, so we're going to look at a wheel also. And this is the wheel of contentment. The wheel of contentment for us as Brahmins. So don't write anything yet. I'll just show you the model first and then I'll ask you to do something. So it's a tool we actually use in coaching world, and some of you may be aware. It's just about self-assessment. And often Baba asks us to check your chart. In other words, assess yourself, be your own checker, understand your own self. So we'll be looking at eight areas in our lives to see how am I doing in these eight areas. So here at the center point will be 0 out of 10. And at the other end of the line will be the possible mark of 10 out of 10 in terms of my level of contentment with that particular area of life. So what sort of areas will we be looking at? Well, one is, for example, right, my Amrit Vela. So we'll be asking ourselves a question, well, how content am I with my Amrit Vela? Is it powerful? Is it experiential? Am I battling with sleep? Am I waiting for the song to come on at 4:45? You know, how good is my Amrit Vela? Second area we'll look at is my general state of yoga during the day. So what's my level of soul consciousness and awareness of Baba's companionship through the day? whether it's at work or you're traveling or whatever you do, check myself through the day. How much am I connected to Baba? Then a third area to look at is how well do I churn gyan? What I hear in the Murali, do I really churn it? Or do I rely on other people to churn for me? Am I an active churner? Do I consciously take a point or two and stay with it and do my own research? Then another area is seva or service. So do I do service every day? Am I a passive server where somebody has to ask me, can you do this please? Or am I an active server? Do I offer myself? Do I think about new ideas? Do I put myself forward? So how am I doing in the area of seva? Another one is relationships. Relationships with the Brahmin family. Right? So how do I get on? Do I get on well with other Brahmins? Have I got that honey and lemon with... Not honey and lemon... Getting my my things mixed up, yeah? Honey and soya milk or honey and oat milk. So am I like that with others? Or is there sometimes, you know, some salt water in the relationships? Is it that I do get along or I ignore some people, I avoid or I have clashes with someone? So how are my relationships with the Brahmin family? Then next is also my relationships with the Lokiks. Now Baba also says we have to make those relationships good too. It may sometimes be, especially when you're new in Gyan, some of your Lokiks don't like it or they oppose you or create problems. And it's quite common. But as time goes on, I should find a way to make that smooth. Shouldn't just leave it. By the end of the cycle, we can't take that negative energy with us. So I have to work on that, so bring some harmony, even in the relationships with the Lokiks. Another area to look at, I would say, is the health of your costume. Physical health. So it's a valuable costume. It's the one through which we do elevated karma, so do I take care of it? At least we should have attention to try and keep it well. And last area could be maybe your job, or if you don't have a job, how you use your time. And so then the question we would ask is, okay, in all of these areas, how content are you? So you may look at your Amitvela and you may say, well, you know, it's okay, it could be better, maybe it's like a 6 or something. It's okay, but I feel maybe I should, you know, study the Murali before, or I should do something to be more alert, keep my intellect engaged. So it's a 6, perhaps. Maybe yoga during the day, you may say, oh, well, it's about an 8, you know, so 0 to 10. Maybe it's 8, not too bad. Try to keep Baba's company during the day. Gyan churning. Okay, maybe I need to work on that, you know. Maybe it's a 3. I don't actively churn Gyan. I tend to get lost in my job or other things, and the day goes by and I haven't really used my intellect for that. Seva, where you may say it's a 7, yeah, I do, you know, try and do some service every day. Try and involve myself and take part in what's happening, offer myself for service. Relations with the Brahmin family. Oh, you may say, Well, I think there are one or two souls I need to fix my relationship with. Maybe it's, you know, 5.5 or a 6 or something. No? For you honest souls here, I'd say it's too much. Right? Relationships with the Lokiks, you may say, well, mostly okay, but maybe one or two members of the family I've not really made an effort to harmonize with. Physical health, yeah, I need to pay attention. Maybe it's a 4. Spend too much time sitting, yeah, and eating and not really paying attention to at least do some basic movement or exercise to keep the body healthy. There may be job or time. Am I happy with that? Maybe it's a 7. You know, am I happy with my job situation or do I feel, you know, not happy with it? If I'm not happy, I have to do something about it to feel content. Then what you would do is you would join up these dots. Like this. And this would be your wheel of life. Your wheel of contentment. How do you think your car of Brahmin life would move? With a wheel like that, huh? Bit of a rocky journey. Yeah. Of course, the ideal is 10 for everything, but that's what we're working towards. So now exercise for you. Just be with yourself and just do this wheel of contentment just for yourself on your piece of paper. To do some self-assessment. How is my life and where do I maybe need to pay a bit more attention? You have a question? Yeah, Mansa Seva is a type of Seva. Yeah, that's true. Another question? Yeah. Just a second, the mic is coming.
Hello. What time period you are suggesting we should look back over? Just the Madhuban stay, maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks?
Your normal day-to-day life, when you're in your normal place.
Okay.
In Madhuban, everything is easy, you know.
Okay.
But it's when you're back there, how are you doing?
Okay.
Because the aim is then to use this to improve your post-Madhuban life.
But things keep changing. So the 2 weeks before we were coming to Madhuban, 1 month before we were coming, do you have any time frame to suggest?
The time just before you came to Madhuban, okay. how was your life then? Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, so just take a few minutes in silence to do this for yourself. And where you find you're lacking a little bit, think of what could be a solution to improve your score in that particular area. Some of you are done, some still writing. Those who are done, I would ask you just to get together with one another person. Just share whatever you feel comfortable sharing about your wheel of contentment, and you may exchange some ideas with each other as well. Okay, just the final part is some expression and sharing with one other person. Or if it's a group of 3, that's also okay.
Om Shanti, I wish to ask you, if you get involved in a difficult situation and you seek help from a person whose help you have always counted on, but he doesn't help you out of that difficult situation. Instead, he starts playing fast and loose with his promises. So is it feasible to stick to this relationship or steer clear of it? Toxic relationship.
Okay, there's a little bit different subject. We'll come to that.
Okay.
But just finish this exercise first, okay. Then we'll come to that. Yeah? Okay, Om Shanti. So, gonna need to wrap it up there. Oh, I need to exit. Where is Shuna? Can they continue discussing if they want? Yeah, you can continue. Pardon? Yeah, I need to go. So please carry on, enjoy. And because I have one or two things to complete before I depart. Your question, sister, would it be possible, as it's a general question, you ask maybe Meera Didi or one of the other senior people? Okay, thank you.
So we thank you so much.